Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're about to listen to an interview which our socios enjoyed in full 12 months ago. If you'd like to listen to these exclusive monthly big interviews on the day that they're released, it's time to join us. That means supporting us. It means the price of a pint per month. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Go now, join and become a socio. That means you'll get that extra big interview every month, and you'll also unlock our entire archive straight away, all for £2.99 a month. It's the best deal in town, baby, and we need you. Whenever you speak to Quentin Fortune, what you're guaranteed to get is his joy at a life spent in football oozing out of him, which is why we chose him to begin this new season of The Big Interview. He was a participant and a witness when the senior players at Manchester United teased the life out of Cristiano Ronaldo, basically telling him that almost everything he was doing was wrong. Stepovers, clothes, teeth, skin. And therefore Quentin is a great raconteur to tell us about the moments that pushed and frustrated Cristiano Ronaldo into becoming one of the great modern footballers. There's Roy Keane kicking him too. And Quentin, firsthand, knows some of the pearls of Manchester United's youth system who will undoubtedly push through and make Manchester United as exciting as they were under Alex Ferguson. A good raconteur and soon to be a coach playing attractive Pep Guardiola-style football. His licences are ticking off one by one. Quentin Fortune is a terrific and entertaining way to begin a new season.
The way I understood South African football, and I watched some of the club football as well, that if you could harness the natural talent that Rob was explaining to me about that time,
we're
all for entertainment, and the guys who can do brilliant things and then lay off the pass, or make sure that the tackle's made, or be right positionally, or score the goal, whatever. Once you put all of that together, it's the magic of football.
We played now a game when I was involved now with the national team with Stuart Baxter against Burkina Faso.
You were assistant coach. Stuart was the coach.
Yeah. And we beat Burkina Faso at home at the FNB 3-1. Now, if you can get the goals from that game, the skill, the players showed the skill, but while they were doing the skill, it was going somewhere and it was, boom, end up in the goal. And everyone was like, wow, that's amazing. And that's South African football at its best, because we're encouraging players, don't take the skill, don't not do it, do it. But there's got to be end product. And when they did it with an end product, oh my goodness, it was like, it was a joy to watch.
This is what's in front of you. This is the success of coaching. When you can coach people and notice the difference and win, then it's a fulfilling line of work. You know that I'm not one of those that likes to play the Messi-Ronaldo game, because it's obviously, for anybody's thinking brain, we're just privileged that we're alive when they're both at their peak. So I've no need to compare, but we're recording this at a time when Cristiano is taking his first steps in Turin, his first steps at Juventus. Now, he's a big old brute of a man now. He owns everything that he touches.
Yep.
and therefore he's not going to be timid, he's not going to be finding his way, everybody's going to salute him everywhere he goes, probably including Maxi Allegri. But it wasn't that way when he came to United.
No, when Ronnie arrived, was we played against him at against Sporting on our last game of the pre-season. We just travelled from America, and I remember after the game, I think Roy Keane was saying, I think that was one more too much because we were battered, we were finished. But that's our excuse. I felt for John O'Shea because he played on John O'Shea's side, and he was just...
John was a fullback that day?
Yeah. Oh my goodness, Ronnie was just outstanding.
What, did you know anything about him before you played that game?
No.
It's just end of pre-season, we've got a game against Sporting Lisbon.
Yeah, there's a new stadium that I think they just opened.
Okay.
Yeah. And
building towards the Euro champs.
Yeah, he was outstanding. Even watching him while playing against him, he was just step over, cutting inside, both feet, just...
A little bit Johannesburg.
Yeah, and that was his mentality at the beginning. He just wanted to embarrass people. I remember when he arrived there, he was happy just killing players in games and training, and he would come and speak to me like, this one, and I was laughing. At the beginning, he just wanted to make sure he's going to destroy whoever was in his way and enjoy that. He enjoyed that challenge. But for me, the thing that made Ronaldo so special was his mentality, his attitude, that self-belief. How can such a young player come with Graham?
The first person that told me this was Walter Di Salvo. He said that Cristiano, because they befriended each other, because as Cristiano adapted his mentality, he realised he needed it, or as he watched around him in that Manchester United training ground, he realised that a lot needed to change, not least his fashion sense, which we'll come on to later.
Oh my goodness.
But Di Salvo was one of those who helped him in his training regime, and he always said to Di Salvo, and Di Salvo told me, that he was telling him that he wanted to be regarded as the best player ever. That was his objective. That he wanted Ballon d'Or. That he wanted to be the best player at United. But he wanted to be... He genuinely thought he could become the greatest player ever. And that's it. Never mind Messi or any of the stuff that's bedeviled him in the subsequent years.
Yeah.
And he still thinks that he should be considered as the best ever. Yeah. And that's what he's tilting at. But like... So when you've always said that you love that mentality, but when you first meet somebody who says, I am the best, I want to be the best, does that automatically click with you? Did it automatically click with everybody? Because again, I know there were people in that United environment who wouldn't have warmed to that initially.
There must have been a few players, definitely, but and you could see it in training, but... I enjoyed my time with Ronaldo because, first of all, the language. Because he came to me because I spoke Spanish. So he would speak to me in Portuguese. So I would translate for him. And if he needed help, I would kind of explain what he wanted. And if they needed to tell Ronaldo something, they would speak to me. And that's how we ended up having a great relationship. But I think in that environment, because he was showing it on the pitch and in the games... There wasn't much players could say to him at the end. Yes, he wasn't. The end product wasn't there yet, but what he was showing, everyone could see. This is ridiculous. He's unbelievable natural talent. He was beating people at ease, but at the same time, he came with the confidence that he's telling people he wants to be the best. But until he brought that end product, there was friction. There was friction because people wanted the ball at a certain time, and
Van Nistelrooy wanted. I mean, that's famous because. Yeah. Again, I've been told by people who were there about Van Nistelrooy reducing Ronaldo to tears because of his dad, and Queiroz is your dad. I don't quite mean that.
Yep.
I'm interested in the positive way that learning off tough guys like Scholes and Neville and Rio and Keane.
Yep.
What clearly happened was that young, unformed Cristiano Ronaldo, sometimes too, because football environments can be rough and demanding. And there's a lot of digging.
He got it every day.
My point.
He got it every day in training because when Ronaldo arrived, he was doing all the fancy stuff. Not fancy stuff, I like to say skill because he had an amazing ability. He was doing, beating people, going by, and it was beautiful to watch. But then at times, obviously, players are clever. This is the high level, so they would just push you a nudge of the ball. And people would laugh, and like we would tease him after, you got weights. And this would eat him. Oh my goodness. This would drive him absolutely mad. We would tease him saying, David Beckham's jersey is still there, so he's just borrowing the jersey, you know, that spot. this would infuriate him. He was like, how? No, I'm the best.
But he would go and do something about
it. He would go and train his socks off. Oh my goodness. That's why I say to young players now, when I have the opportunity to speak to them, if you want to be anywhere near Ronaldo, you have to live for football, eat football, sleep football. This guy was, you know, he was doing that every single day. Came into the training. After training, I was fortunate to see it. He put on the ankle weights and do the step overs, take off the ankle weights. Again, free kicks, sprinting, go to the gym, get stronger. And then you could see it a few weeks.
You see the difference?
He was getting stronger, he was getting more confident. People would be, and he was enjoying it. He was like, yeah, no one pushed me off the ball. And he got stronger. He never wanted for us to tease him again about someone pushing me off the ball.
You know, Rhea told that story recently about how one day they were playing table tennis and we beat him. And he went away and bought a table tennis table and practiced solidly.
He was a joke. The guy was ridiculous. We would beat him maybe once a game, and he would, honestly, we would enjoy that moment so much, Graham. Because we could tease him every single day. Ah, Ronnie, don't worry about it. And we could see it was just, he'll come back the next week, he wouldn't lose another game.
Yeah.
He'll beat everyone. He was just obsessed with winning.
Unfair to ask you, could there have been a better environment? But like, when he was learning from those people, but Keane and Neville and Scholes and Giggs and Ferguson, you know, could there really have been a better environment for this guy who wanted to soak up all the hostias and then it went again and go, right, I'm going to change that, they'll never do that to me.
He got the best environment. He was so fortunate, the timing and the blessing he had, because the manager had the patience and the vision to keep playing him, because the manager knew the potential and could see the desire, and that's what sets him apart from all the young talented players. You could see the desire in Ronnie every single day. Like, he starts the box, he doesn't want to give the ball away. Yes, he was doing the tricks, but he's not giving the ball away, he's not going inside the box today in training.
When you say not going inside the box, that's United use boxes, but it's known around the world now as the rondos.
Yeah.
The concept's the same, but it's not a circle, it's a box. And there were grades of boxes at United, weren't there? There was the elite
senior box,
and you say go in the middle. But just describe that. Just that, you know, what was the level of boxes? Who played where? And what didn't he want to do when you say he didn't want to go in the box? Describe that.
Well, this, you get to the box with, obviously, you get Giggsy, Scholesy, Roy Keane, the senior players at that time. And then you get our box, the so-called youngers, and a few foreigners. And it's two players in the middle, and it's 10 by 10. And when you go in the middle, and at the box at United at that time, it could be a while before you get out. And that's why this is the simple things. And that's when I'm doing my coaching badges now, and then I have the opportunity to coach some players. I say to them, this is part of the game, this is part of training. Yes, we have fun, but this is what you do. This is when you watch Scholesy, they're fizzing at the ball. When I arrived at United, I was watching them, I was thinking, what is going on here? What's David Beckham? This is Roy Keane, Dwight York, Andy Cole, one touch football. But then we move into possession game, they were doing exactly the same. And you wonder, like, oh, because they started exactly there, in that mentality, I'm not going into the middle, I'm not going to give a ball away. And this is what I try to encourage players. It's something small, but you have to train your mind, like, the way you touch it, that small touch, it can fizz into you, taking the pace of it. Scholes, he was ridiculous. I mean, he was probably the best I've seen. And then Ronaldo just took it to another level. When Rooney arrived, oh my goodness. But just that mentality. Yes, we have fun, but you keep those being.
And you started this anecdote by saying that Cristiano, although he had the tricks and some touch, he groomed himself to say, they're not going to put me in the middle. Yeah. Even if they ping the ball at me, my touch will be right, or my layoff will be right.
The first couple of times when he arrived, he was doing the tricks, give the ball away, and I go in the middle. But then we start taking the piss out of him. And when you do that to Ronnie, oh my goodness. He quickly figures it out.
It reminds me of Beckham in that instance, in that. Whoever throughout his career, including Glenn Hoddle, who you enjoyed training under at Chelsea, pushed him down, you knew he was going to push right back up again. Yeah. And in fact, the best thing that could happen to Beckham was somebody to cross him or somebody to go wrong, because then it was like, no, I'm not having that.
Well, Ronnie got a couple of times in training, people would go through him, and he's like, he figured it out. Like, I had to be quicker, to be stronger, because obviously the couple of times you when he arrived, diving a bit, then quickly had to understand, we don't do that here.
Mm.
You get up, we don't dive over unless you just show your strength. and he learned that in the environment.
So he wasn't told it, he just saw it, or people might have told him.
I think someone's manager probably spoke to him, but the few players definitely made sure they let him know without speaking to him, which means you get a couple of tackles in training and quickly realise that I need to be quicker here, I need to think quicker, I need to be stronger, I don't want to be pushed off the ball, players taking the piss out of me and stuff like that. So
we've sometimes talked about him together in a TV studio. And do you think there are times in his career where either his behaviour or his declarations about I'm not happy with them, how I'm treated at Madrid, or the money, or some of the, I mean, the change of look is radical, as every kid is allowed to do, it's between amazing. A kid and a man. His teeth have changed, his face has changed, his clothes have changed. You're smiling, but that's just maturing, and he likes his appearance.
Yeah,
that's not a criticism of me, but it's a fact.
Yeah. But this is all I'm not saying because of us, but we were teasing him on this stuff. When he arrived with all the stuff in his face, we were teasing him about his teeth. So all this was just, like you said, in the hard environment, anything the player can find to get you, they will use.
Every club. Every club.
His gear, oh my goodness, his gear would be hanged up every day. We would abuse him for the tightest pants ever he would wear. We were like, Ronnie, that pants is tight. And he was like, no, that's great. No, Ronnie, there's a difference. You gotta have air in between the pants. But that was him, and he took it on board until he started to be able to speak back. And when he was able to speak back, and oh my goodness, it was all over.
But as you've enjoyed the rest of his career, do you find it easier? Because some people, in my opinion, don't appreciate what we've been seeing, because they don't like plucked eyebrows, or they don't like the preening or his goal celebration. What occurs to me over and over again, maybe because I'm a little bit older, maybe because I've got a little bit of common sense, waking up.
Yeah.
In our working lifetime, we might not see this again.
Ronaldo, what people see from the outside is, it's a show. When you speak to Ronaldo like this, like we do now, it's a different human being.
Thank you. Can I offer what I think? Bright, often very witty.
Yeah.
You know, definitely a funny guy, but a big working brain in there, no?
Amazing human being. Does a lot of things, good things, in the choir that probably people don't know about. But doesn't probably want people to know that he does good things. But amazing mother, family, sister, brother, good family people. Funny guy. Oh, my goodness. Just someone that I saw that took football to another level.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I've seen you coaching, and I know your passion for the game, your ability at the game, and also I've seen in various different television studios your ability to analyse and compact information and share it in a way that people take things from. You've done your A licence.
Done my license just now. Last
year, in the middle of pro.
Applied for my submitted my pro, my CV from a pro licence. So I'm waiting to hear back from them to see if I'm bored.
So listen, football world, you've got a bright, driven, still young, athletic, clever man here. Quinton Fortune needs to be given coaching opportunities now, but I have seen you as part of your A licence coaching kids at United, and that was part of your development. I think there was something that we both liked when we saw, and I'm now talking about Quinton Fortune, the future coach. talked about boxes at United training, but the, you know, the, do you call it the cage?
Yeah.
At United? Or,
yeah, the cage, yeah.
Describe it and what its ideas are for and what that means to you as somebody who might coach kids of that age.
The cage is almost like the closest thing we're going to get to street football. And I think they at United, they just want to encourage the players to, because it's continuous football, the ball doesn't go out. So they just want the players to express themselves. Because that, when I was coaching that evening, they had like under 14s and the 16s, so they were playing different age groups, and they just wanted to see that mixture and competing with each other, which is great, because that's what you get in the street. You're not going to say, okay, under 14s over there. So
it's what you had in the flats when, you, when your brothers gave you the chance.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
So that's what they encourage that, and don't coach them, just let them play. So the coaches wouldn't get involved. So you see that just round robin with one team's win and they get off, and the kids organize themselves. So the coaches will just sit back. And obviously they need to step in. If something goes wrong, then they'll step in. But other than that, they just let them play and get on with it. And people showing their strength, someone showing a bit of a skill. All the coaching they've been doing probably during the week, mm-hmm. just going to see they take it on board. So it's a great exercise to do with the kids. And I think they play once or twice a week in the cage. Brilliant.
Do you think we see, because having a look at the United tour at the moment, guy, we watched that day, mm-hmm. Greenwood. Mason Greenwood and Chung, who was player of the year at youth level last season. There are others, but you know, what do you think of those two guys, and does that make it promising for what's coming at United?
I think those two players are probably the brightest ones now. For Mason Greenwood, like I said, I don't know if I told you last time, but he's probably a player that reminds you of Redondo.
Wow,
the way he walks around, and it's a big thing to call, but it just, when I watch him sometimes in the way he moves, he's got that Redondo style for me. And it's been a while since I've seen such a young player take a free kick with both feet. I've seen him in games where he took a free kick with his left foot, and I've seen him in the same game with his right foot, and no problem.
You couldn't naturally easily tell which is the stronger.
And that's, you don't see that anymore. You don't see, I don't know if they still coach players that go both ways, but he's just so natural. And
you see, I heard Arjen Robben the other day, you know, arguing, saying, you know, I've got this brilliant left foot and I don't agree. He was mad because idealists like me might occasionally get things wrong,
mm-hmm.
once or twice often, every 10 years. We agree on that. You think about the Dutch school that trained people like that, mm-hmm. that's very street football oriented. Mm-hmm. If you think about the generation we watched or you played against, they had street football for real. The idea there, certainly the Ajax school, which he didn't come through, was, you know, you're ambidextrous for sure, and you must be able to understand. People think total football is just like the ball is beautiful all the time, but total football is the idea that you're absolutely aware of every position.
Yep.
Robin was like, and you could deputise in every position because you've got both feet, which is how you start talking about Mason Greenwood and Fernando Redondo. Robin was like, you know, I've got brilliant left foot, and I don't like this idea that people say I should, you know, improve my right foot, because why not just accept that I've got this brilliant left foot and put all the weight and all the emphasis on the fact that this is world class and boost the strengths of what I've got rather than go and work on my right foot. Now for a guy who's had a career like his, 3 Champions League finals, winning one, scoring the winning goal in one, it was a really weird argument to hear. And it's so different from the admiration which came from you naturally about seeing a kid who's 17 who can take good free kicks with either foot, and you wouldn't know which is the strong one.
It's for me, the greatest player ever was Pelé. Now, when you watch clips of Pelé, who could score with both feet, Ronaldo does it now. Unless you're Messi, don't bank on your left foot. Or just, you got to go. Messi showed in the World Cup now.
Nigeria.
Boom. Yeah. And where he must have practiced, because it just doesn't happen.
It's one of his beautiful goals.
With his right foot.
At that stage, it might have saved the World Cup, and he finishes with so-called weaker foot.
So it takes it practice. I remember as a kid playing against the first team at Tottenham in the indoor facilities and watching Mickey Hazard.
Wow.
Now, for those who remember Mickey Hazard.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about football education for myself and just sitting there or being in a game and watching him and thinking, this is what I want to be like. I want to be able to, my right foot to be as good as my left foot, because you didn't know which way to show him.
Yeah.
When I arrived at United and I played professional football, players, people started to shout, show him this weaker foot, show him this weaker foot. And I had to practice. Okay, I need to maybe use a swinger now and then, but I wish I'd practice more and be able to go both ways, because when Ronaldo did it, the great Ronaldo did it from Brazil. Neymar does it because he's got that great balance when Neymar stays on his feet, which I just make sure, Neymar, I love you. But come on, bring the old Neymar back.
See, this is Carrington already. And yeah. This is the cliff coming out. Like, every player gets a flag, no matter who they are.
So it's just, you want to encourage young players today to go both ways. It's a beautiful thing to watch.
And do you think Mason has got 2 feet naturally, or he's trained himself?
I think he trained himself, because I watch him for a few years now. When I first saw him, I thought it was like just ridiculous. When I first saw him, I always used to ask the coaches, how's he doing, how's the progress going? But I'm sure he must have practiced. I'm sure he's obviously had the ability, but it takes practice to be able to do what he does. It's amazing. It's amazing. Whoa, you watch any player, boom, step up, free kick, left foot. Sorry, guys, I'll take this one, right foot. What's going on here?
And you talked about this concept of how he can play both feet, street football, the boxers at United. You know, some of that won the World Cup. Because when the game's in the balance, France-Croatia, that pass that Pogba makes, that right foot volley, it's just...
That's Scholesy.
Yeah.
Now, I love Pogba, but there was a period Scholesy came to train us with the under-21s when he retired. And that's probably the best education I would think any under-21 players got, because they had Pogba, they had Adnan Januzaj, they had Ravel, and all these players got to play with Scholesy and to see him firsthand, the movement, the touch. It's the best education.
That was a Scholes pass that Pogba made.
No, it's Scholesy all day long.
Yeah.
This is from watching Scholesy. This is from being around the training ground. I'm sure Pogba's got it in his locker to do that, but he saw it. He saw it in training. And once you see stuff, you're in that environment, okay, let's try that pass, let's practice this. I'm not saying he couldn't do that, but from watching Scholesy, he saw that every day.
I know you always tell the truth, but did Scholesy really see passes 2 minutes before you did?
Yeah.
You told that anecdote, told him. And I almost
he was just, honestly, he killed me that day in training. I just remember doing a pass, and Gwynny, yeah, Scholesy, see that pass? Yeah. I saw 2 minutes ago, I was like, because I thought he was going to say something. He's just like, wow. But the guy was just, it was a joy. And like I said, for these young players like Paul Pogba, them in that time around Scholesy, and Scholesy is probably one of his biggest fans. So when people see this quote about Scholesy, he knows what he's capable of doing.
And wants more from him.
He wants more from him because he knows he's got more to give.
And now we could talk about whether, I don't know, people, including Wayne, might not want blue haircuts in the Manchester Derby and so on. But that's another subject for another day.
No, but it's unnecessary. Because it's not Manchester United. I know the times has changed, but at Manchester United was all about, you play your football, that's it. No, all this other stuff. Scholesy was the best. Scholesy came in, trained, was amazing, played his game, boom, gone home. That's all the manager wanted. Compete every day. Roy Keane, keep the standards. And the rest of the stuff, all that money and all that stuff that comes with it, will take care of itself. Once you take care of the football part, people can say whatever they want.
It must be one of the reasons you succeeded, ability and athleticism aside. All you wanted to do was play football.
Play football. It was about...
So the fit between you and that Manchester United was really close.
It was amazing, because I was getting players every day and training that could give me competition, which I had as a kid every day at school and the games, on the football field, when I played with my friends. And now I just get the opportunity to play at the higher level, at the highest level, against amazing world-class players. And they competed. This is perfect.
Finish on what kind of coach would you like to be once? Because I will resent it when it happens, but it's what you want, because you're very good on television. You're very good at bringing the extra that a former pro needs to give so that journalists and viewers and presenters can make a better job of what they're talking about.
Yep.
And that's a fact. You're very good at it. But your ultimate goal is to not do that, is to be a coach. When you're coaching, you know, where do you envisage yourself coaching, and what kind of coach do you envisage yourself being?
That's a great question. First, I like to be a coach that encourages players, because I know myself as a player that when I felt that a manager was encouraging me, it brings a different side of a player. And I know sometimes some players need to be treated differently, but I like to encourage players. I like to for them to be able to express themselves and play with no... Of course, sometimes you need a little bit of fear, because you want to win, but just express themselves, and players that aren't selfish, yeah, play for the team. Everything's about the team, because once you do that, the individual ability will shine. When you focus on working for the team and dominate. When I watch Pep and I hear him speak about, like, he wants to control the whole game, I like to, of all the coaches I've learned, I remember that time I played under Sam Allardyce, just a simple throw in frustrates me sometimes, because I think a throw in is also part of the game, because you want to compete to win the ball. But players now, they just let them throw it in and then change the play. That eats me. And I remember watching when I was at Bolton, my time I spent with Sam Allardyce, he used to go crazy, because it's just, why would you just let them get out easy? Because when the ball's at the opposite end at your goal, they keep you in there. But you just go and let them change the play, and then they go to attack, and then you're wondering what's going on. So
don't be dominated. Don't give people easy space, thinking time.
Nothing.
Check and see if it's their day, if the touch is good or not, if the throw's been taken well.
Yeah.
Press.
Dominate when you have the ball. Like Pep now, he wants to keep the ball. But Sean O'Driscoll, when I was at Doncaster,
yeah.
He used to say to us, when we score the first goal, we go back to centre spot. Don't let the team now settle, get the few passes. No, press them again. Because psychologically, they're probably down a bit. Go again. Finish them. At United, you score four goals. Sprint to the corner flag. I remember playing a game and we were beating West Ham 4-0 or so, we end up 7-0. And David Beckham sprinted the corner flag. I'm thinking, now in Spain, it's like, tranquilo, where are you going? What? But it's almost like, you plant that seed for the next couple of seasons, because when they come back to Old Trafford, they know whatever the thought they had or planning is not going to happen. I have a bit of the Celtic mentality, which create an environment, a working environment. Carlos Queiroz, the tactical side of things. Antic, he was amazing. Just Arrigo Sacchi, oh my goodness, I had spent a little bit of time with Arrigo Sacchi, and just to watch him, how
now,
he wanted to.
Now that wasn't at Doncaster.
No.
And that's one of the first things you said that really taken me aback, that I didn't know about. When Sacchi was coach at Atleti.
Atletico Madrid, yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That you worked under Sacchi. That's a phenomenal teacher to have.
And to watch his being a training session and how he used to go crazy, because he's put out the different colours and how he wanted the team to move as one. And if he didn't move as one, oh my goodness, he would stop training. He would go crazy. He'd drive the players crazy, because you just want to train as a player. You just want to get out and get the ball. No, repetition, move as one, boom, ball goes there. As soon as the ball goes there, you must know that
everything automatic,
everything.
As if you're all linked.
You link
as
together.
If you're like table football players, where you all move in unison.
He wanted to move, everything is to shout in training, everything move as one, as one, as one. If it didn't move as one, everyone's not everyone in sync.
We both know that's what Pep wants too. And it's highly organised as to what the movements are. But you said something that people need to understand, that players initially, when they're under Sacchi or under Pep, and a coach intervenes all the time, it really pisses players off. Whereas if you're an outsider, you think, well, of course, if you're a coach, a teacher, a boss, and you've got something to say, you stop it and you teach them. But players can get very itchy and jumpy about a coach always intervening and correcting them.
And that's finding the balance. And I think for us, for me, myself, my experience, I remember Sacchi coming out with his book every morning before training, and he used to speak to the players. Now, this is before training started. Now, for me, in Italy, that's probably normal. When I was at my Brescia time, that's normal. The coach comes out, he has a little talk. And I was like, oh, my goodness, just get the box up. Because it's like that the first thing you do is the box.
Yeah.
The gaffer hardly speaks to you. The gaffer speaks to you after training. He's walking off or comes to you during training, takes you to the side, have a few words. That's it. The assistant coach does all the training. Yeah, you're standing for half an hour. And you're thinking, what is this guy talking about? You just want to train. So for me, all that experience that I've had and these amazing managers, of course Alex was the best, and to kind of take all that information and trying to create, first of all, a great environment, because when you have a great environment like we had at United, the rest will take care of itself. Because when you can get players to train at the highest level without you being there, because there's days Alex wouldn't even be there, but the level was still... That's
because you had a lot of generals and a lot of sergeant majors in that dressing room.
You had leaders. That was just amazing.
Rio, for example.
Rio,
Gary, Kino,
Scholesy, Butty, the Neves, but Kino for me was the highest, because he just kept the level there, and he just kept it real, because he wanted us to train the way we play. And I remember. Once in training, I shield the ball of Keane, and I'm at edge of my own box, and he just kicked me in, and I was like, and Carlos stopped the training, and I was like, I got so angry and I was like, why is he doing that? And I just remember Keane saying, would you do that in the game? And it just made me think, because I know it's training, but it just kind of left the thought in my mind.
What didn't he like? You were shielding it? What didn't he like that you wouldn't do in, that he was telling you wouldn't do in a game?
I would not in that or be so... No, I wasn't saying lackadaisy, because in that situation, in the game, I would probably play it simple near my own box.
Yeah.
And just get it moving ball
keep
quickly.
It moving away.
But I was shielding it because I was stronger now and I was more confident. And of course, it's Keane. You want to have a bit of competition with Keane, but he just left it as he ran away. He said, what are you doing in the game? No. So he just wanted us to make, you know, be switched on, do things properly.
All the time, as
all
you would
time.
Do if it was a final or
all the time.
Premier League derby.
When you play the box, pass
it's
properly.
As if it's Wembley.
Pass properly, because when it comes to the game, and this is why I keep emphasizing to people that when we used to play the game on a Saturday or Sunday or during the week, the battle was already won, because the way we trained, it was just ridiculous. I was never going to get an opponent as good as Giggsy on a Saturday afternoon, a Scholesy, a Keane, a Bex, a Yorkie. This one by competition every single day.
Train brutally hard so that playing's fun.
Playing was a joy. Because you give it to Scholes, you know, just keep on running, he'll find you. Beckham, you know, as the ball goes wide, get in the box, he'll find you. And that was just repetition. And like I said, you, once you as a manager can achieve the level where you're not there and they still keep that level, enjoy yourself.
I get the impression you're going to be a special coach.
I hope so.
I could listen to that in a dressing room if I was a sort of 17-year-old future pro. We should mention before we let you go, your academy.
I've started Quinton Fortune Academy. I've been very fortunate, Graham. A few years ago in South Africa, in Cape Town, I had a club called FC Fortune. This is the time I played with United. And the idea was simple. Someone gave me the opportunity, and I just wanted to find the best young players in South Africa and give them opportunity. Unfortunately, that didn't work out because people wasn't taking care of the club properly. So I had to stop that. And a few years later, which was some all my mind, two gentlemen here in Manchester approached me, saying they just wanted to use my name. And I said, no, I want to be involved, because I just don't like to give my name. I want to see how you're going to run the academy. And that's how we all started. So, well, we've been putting everything together for the last 2 years, and it's been running for a few months. So it's basically kids from 5 to 13 years old, and we just coach them. The end product would be one day to bring kids from South Africa and coach them here, and hopefully give them opportunity to play here in Europe.
Well, what we can do for sure is you can keep us up to date with how that's going.
Brilliant.
If there's a way that the big interview can help in one way or another, then we will do. For the moment, if they're getting this level of experience and input from you, and if the teams that you coach do, they're going to not only develop, but they're going to enjoy themselves. You used the word a couple of minutes ago, Quinton. It's been a joy.
Yep, brilliant. Thank you.
Hopefully you enjoyed that big interview, which was first released as an exclusive to our socios 12 months ago. If you'd like to get these interviews on the first day that they're available, it's time for you to join us, to become a socio, and for only £2.99 a month, you will get an exclusive big interview plus regular mini documentaries, not only all ad-free, but all featuring me and bringing you interesting, funny, and sometimes scandalous things from Spanish football. Go to patreon.com/Graham Hunter to unlock our entire archive. That means that once you join, you will have a treasure trove of interviews with funny, elite, interesting, revelatory, top-class footballers. By joining us, you will help support this independent podcast. You will help to keep us on the road interviewing people and sending that content for your delectation. If you go to the gym, you'll be slimmer. If you've got a dog, he or she will thank you. If you've got a TV, you can turn it off and listen to this instead.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.